This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk.
News Time, 99.1 and 92.3.
It's 84 degrees in the Reno area. Folks, the sky calls. Will you answer? Deep inside, you know you've always wanted to be a pilot. Probably even dreamed about it. I'm reading from your website. Yeah, I'm reading from your website. After all, flying is a true freedom. It removes boundaries, extends horizons, it builds character and confidence, gives you an edge. But most important, being a pilot is a great adventure. I can tell you two are really into this. You really are. We have in the studio with us Jen Vincent, who is the owner, and Richard Brong, who is the chief flight instructor from a local company. It is Great Basin Aviation in Reno. And you can check the website, read the website yourself at greatbasinaviation.com. Welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
So we were talking during the news there. You both had like different careers. Richard, you know, was a teacher. Jen, you were like farming, you said, or
yeah,
baking?
So banking, and then got into farming.
So
and
what took over? How did flying? How did aviation become a passion for you? I'll start with you, Richard.
Sure.
What is it about flying?
Yeah, so I've been into aviation ever since I was a kid. Just something that I always loved to follow and pursue. And growing up in Washington State, I used to watch ag planes spraying every summer. It was like an air show every morning. It was great. And got into teaching many, many years ago. And aviation was always just a parallel passion. And somewhere around 2012, graduate school in aviation, and then eventually put the two together. And then when I met Jen with the flight school, started working there and put both skills to work.
Tell me about that first flight you ever took.
Oh, boy. It was something. It was magic. I mean, every time you get up there, you're on top of the world.
Were
literally.
You a kid?
Or... I was. Yeah, I was about 7 years old for the very first flight that I ever took. Definitely.
And you got hooked right away.
I was hooked. Yep. I love the smell of jet fuel. I have to admit it.
Jen, what's your story?
So I think like a lot of people back early 80s, Top Gun came out. So I always wanted
Top
to be a
Gun.
Pilot.
Okay.
Yeah, that was my hook. And it was one of those things, you know, you just kind of put off, never thought it would be possible. And then finally,
it is possible.
It is possible. And that's why we're here to talk about it. But yeah. About 9 years ago, it was just, you know, made the decision now or never, went and got my private pilot and just fell in love with it from there. Now made it a career.
How difficult is this pilot's license? Richard?
Yeah, it's not too bad. I mean, it's something that anybody and everybody can achieve. You definitely have to be serious about it. But as you're learning, you come on in. There's definitely book work. There's flying work that you have to do. And you need to dedicate your time and energies to it. Most folks could get done, you know, if they really hustle, they could get done in 2 to 3 months. But more typical, 6 months. Depending on what they're doing.
And, 6 months?
Yeah, as far as life. That's for the basic rating, the very first private pilot's license.
Now, does Great Basin Aviation do that part?
Sure.
So you from the sit-down, the courses, mm-hmm. and things like that, the classroom
yes.
stuff,
yeah.
you do that?
Yeah, most folks will work for the ground knowledge, we call it, through an independent sort of self-paced curriculum that's online. But we're there to fill in. We do classes. One-on-one, all that kind of thing. So there's a lot of pathways that folks can use to actually get that ground knowledge that they need, the fundamental and the theoretical part of it.
And then you do the field training?
Yes.
Do you have your own plane?
Yeah, we have a fleet.
Yeah, we have
a
nine.
A fleet? You have a fleet.
We
what
have
are
nine
they?
Aircraft. Kind of follow
nine
that
aircraft.
Southwest model. Yes, just all the same plane. So we have nine Cessna 172s. A couple of them have a different cockpit, a more technologically advanced. So even in these small planes, you can still get advanced avionics. But yeah, we've got nine aircraft. I mean, like Richard said, you know, we'll bring students in. Just getting started, there's a lot of hand-holding, and that's why we're there. So bring them in, sit them down, let them know what they're going to be getting themselves into, because it definitely takes steady habits, self-discipline, a passion. And then, of course, the FAA has some other requirements that they have to get through to be able to earn their private pilot.
And you can be the one and only source for all the training.
Correct.
In air and also in classroom also. And then what do most people do with this knowledge? Now, Richard, you have a plane of your own, right?
Correct. Yeah, I own a plane.
What do you do with it?
So my plane's for fun. So when I bought it, it was simply just as I didn't need more hours. I wanted something just to tinker with. So what I do is I go somewhere to get an expensive hamburger, basically, or just go sightseeing. It's literally, I'll take it on trips, but it's a toy.
You can wake up in the morning and say, I think I'll get a hamburger in Coos Bay, Oregon. And is that easy to do?
Sure.
Do you have to go through a lot of paperwork with the airport? And I don't know anything about this.
No, it's amazing.
It's simple.
So Reno Airport, Reno Tahoe International, you know, obviously we have airline service here, and that's typical of big cities. And yes, we operate out of Reno Tahoe International. But for every big airport like that, there are dozens of smaller airports, and they are peppered across the country. And you can get into any of those quite easily as a general aviation, a small aircraft pilot. And you can see the world quite easily, maybe not more or less expensively, but definitely sometimes quicker than you could with airlines, just not having to go to TSA and, you know, all that nonsense that we sometimes have to do with that.
Is it a good time to start a career as a professional commercial pilot?
Definitely, yeah. The need in the industry...
There's a shortage, isn't there?
Yeah, there's definitely a shortage. It's kind of still a perfect storm. There's recovery still going on post-pandemic, forced mandatory retirements, things like that. The economy drives a lot of it, so there's always ups and downs for sure. But the long-term forecast is that the pilot demand and, of course, all the areas that are needed to support the flying are in huge demand well into the future.
The gray hairs are retiring. We're running into a problem with a lot of careers. Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Young people or like they're not into cars like we were.
Right.
They're not quite into learning how to be in radio as much. Do the young people, are they really interested in this, or is there a dearth of interest in the younger generation toward being a pilot, Jen?
Yeah, there's a lot of interest, especially, I'd say a good majority of our students are probably under the age of 30. That might even be high, maybe more mid-20s. I think parents see it, too. It's it's a great career to start getting their kid into if maybe they're not college bound or, you know, learn, they're better with the trades. So aviation is still considered a trade. So students can get in there, find something that they really grasp onto, just plant that seed and grow from there. And they see it's a reality. They can do all their training here in the northern Nevada area and then start a career in aviation.
Okay. If your kids are interested or you that we're talking to, Jen, why should they pick Great Basin Aviation in Reno? And Richard, you can give your two cents on this too.
Yeah, I'll share this one a little with Richard, but Great Basin Aviation, we have a clear path from 0 hours to a career in aviation. So we lay it all out for you in the beginning so you can see those milestones and check them off as they come along. I'll have Richard talk a little more about the curriculum, our structured approach to how we train, but our safety record, our modern aircraft, I think when you come and take a tour, they really speak for themselves. Plus a support network. We're 7 days a week. There's somebody always there. When we're really there, we know it's, you're getting into the unknown and you're going to have a lot of questions. You're going to be scared. You're going to maybe cry in your car one day. You know, you're going to have a lot of ups and downs. And everyone that works there, even our staff, is students of the school. So they can share in those, you know, that emotional roller coaster plus, you know, helping with the study habits. So it's really a very supportive network that you get into, or community, I should say.
Definitely, definitely.
And a good student can have this done in less than a year.
So, yeah,
pilot's license.
Mm-hmm. That's the first certificate that you get that you continue to build on. But it's the quickest we've had a student go through it is 6 weeks. I mean, here in Northern Nevada, we get a lot of winds and sometimes some crazy weather. So the weather plays a big factor in that. But like Richard said, about 4 to 6 months is the average for a private pilot.
Wow. Richard?
Definitely. The other part of that is kind of marrying the education side of it with the aviation side. We do have a syllabus. We're a school, and we really focus the teaching of aviation more than just training how to push the airplane through the sky. Everything in aviation is about a scenario, not just knowing what knob to pull and what control to yank on and that kind of thing. And so we really try to get folks involved with that. There's no right answer to some of the scenarios they get into, but there are a lot of well thought out pathways they could take. And so that's one of the things we're really trying to do as we educate our pilots coming through. And then, like Jen was saying, that network, that support network is huge, just having all of that. It's a community.
And we have a nationwide shortage of pilots, as you said. Talk about the commercial pilot salaries. I imagine with any shortage, they go up, don't they?
They do, yeah, definitely. So there's a little bit of a, I want to say, misconception, but you first get your private pilot's license. You earn a second rating that then lets you fly through the clouds. You can't do that in the beginning. And then your third rating is your commercial pilot certificate, where you can then be paid to fly. But any employer is going to know what is your experience. And so just because you have a commercial pilot certificate doesn't mean you're going to go out and fly for Southwest the next day, something like that. It may take you many, many more years to build the experience that you're looking at. Once you get going, depending on whether you're flying for charter or for corporate or medical or airlines, salaries can go from anywhere from good to fantastic. They definitely really pay well, but you also have to be willing to work hard and also weather some storms, because there are ups and downs, definitely.
The possibilities are endless as to who would hire you. You just mentioned air ambulances, mm-hmm, medical mm-hmm. flights. We have all these little airlines that, the pond hoppers?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a bunch of those. We've never had so many airlines as we do right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not everybody wants to go the airline route, but there's so many jobs that they can do. Like you said, the air medical, there's charter, corporate, private jet, you know, somebody who just wants somebody to fly them around. But there's also the agricultural applications. There's mosquito spraying, you know, ferrying flights. There's just so many opportunities out there. Students just need to come in and kind of start that mentorship, the networking, and really just find that career they want to go after and then kind of work backwards from there.
Folks, if you have questions about becoming a pilot or your kids learning this, you guys just did a youth aviation camp. We're going to talk about that. 884-9910 is the number to call. We have an incoming text. Let me see. Craig wrote this. Microsoft Flight Sim. Hmm. What's your opinion of that? The person who's texting says it's very helpful and immersive. Ask about that part of training. What's your opinion of Microsoft Flight Sim?
Yeah, that's a great question. And honestly, any of the flight simulators that are available for folks on their computers can be fantastic tools to supplement their training. It's a little bit of a double-edged sword, I have to say that. I will have students come in sometimes that have, I'm going to use air quotes here, taught themselves how to fly on the simulator. And they can do some basic things, but they've also taught themselves a lot of bad habits. However, if it's integrated into a training curriculum, you can go fly in the actual airplane and go home and repeat that lesson free of charge, so to speak, and it really can help emphasize a lot of what you do. There's a lot of things you can do in the simulator that you cannot do in the aircraft safely.
Do you guys play with that yourself?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I see people post videos from this, Microsoft, yeah. And the graphics are so good.
Yeah.
Unless they tell you it's the flight sim, you think it's real.
The real thing.
Then you see a little 8-year-old in the pilot seat, and you know it's a Microsoft.
Yeah, there's definitely emphasis on graphics and eye candy sometimes for the home user, which is fine. It's really nice. The realism in the physics should be the primary focus. You know, we have a simulator that we can use at the flight school, which is a loggable simulator. And it honestly, at its core, it's just running Microsoft Flight Simulator. It's got a fancy set of controls on it, and obviously costs a little bit more than what you would put in your home office, but it at its core, it's the same thing.
And I think it's great too, just from that cost perspective. You know, well, the first thing is when you're using Flight Sim and you're incorporating it into your training, you're using a Cessna 172, not an F-18 on the simulator.
Yeah, right.
You've got to make it relevant. But also, you know, it's great for role-playing, or I shouldn't say role-playing, but practicing your radio calls. And then some of the emergency procedures that we don't want to test out in the aircraft, doing it on Flight Sim or our simulator. So it definitely has its benefits.
Mm-hmm.
The Flight Sims I've seen posted online are like 737s and such.
Yeah.
Not there just yet.
Yeah. I mean, everybody starts, whether you're flying a, you know, 737, a space shuttle, it doesn't even matter. Everybody starts out at the same level. It would be difficult to not find a pilot who has flown a Cessna somewhere in their flight training.
All right, a question that has nothing to do with Great Basin Aviation. When you fly commercially, what's your favorite jet airliner to fly on? Huh. What everybody has a favorite plane. It's like everybody has a favorite gun. What's your favorite?
Oh, that's a hard question. I'm not going to say it too loudly, but now the world's listening. I don't really like flying commercial.
You don't?
I mean, I do.
In terms of being well-built and the best plane there is, are you an Airbus person or a Boeing person?
I'm a Boeing. I grew up in Washington. Yeah. I'm a Boeing person.
Boeing person. Yeah. How about you, Jen? What do you love flying in?
So I'm going to have to preface this. My husband flies Boeing. So I'm going to go. My favorite aircraft is the United 777, the Boeing.
The 777.
Yes.
I don't think I've been in one of those.
I'm old
and I remember the big planes being kind of creaky, you know, DC-10, mm-hmm. the L-1011,
mm-hmm.
and they were big and wide and they would creak.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's another world. Anyway, I got to take a break. Folks, you have a question for Jen or Richard? 884-9910. We're talking about Great Basin Aviation in Reno. We're going to talk about the youth aviation camps that you guys do up next. I'm John Potter on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1022.
99.1, the FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
John Potter, live and local, 1025 is our time. I'm with Jen Vincent and Chief Flight Instructor Richard Brong from Great Basin Aviation. I ask every business the same question every time we have a new business coming in here. How pilot-friendly is Nevada and the Reno Airport?
Yes. On the piloting side, Reno is a great airport. Here at the Reno Tahoe International, not just for airlines coming and going, but for us little folks as well. It's a challenging airport, and I say if you learn here.
I talked to a pilot once. He said, oh, Reno.
Yeah. I think, though, if you learn here and you can fly well here, you can fly well anywhere. I really mean that. The airport authority here is fantastic. They support not just the airlines, but all of the general aviation side of stuff as well. They really support us and what we do, and it really nice. They're a wonderful community. The controllers are fantastic here. Yeah, it's a really good, safe airport.
I heard you need a special or an elevated qualification to fly in and out of the Reno Airport.
No, that's not true. Same pilot's license that you would have for anywhere else. You know, they're definitely flying in and out of the mountainous areas. You should have some extra training because the winds here can be a little bit erratic.
Oh my gosh, yes.
But still, you know. Again, when you have to work with them from day one, you learn to read them just like you would anywhere else.
Everybody has a, you wouldn't believe what happened to me in the plane.
Of course.
Trying to land in Reno.
This is a great area for training. And I think even just the community really supports aviation. We're a big travel and logistics hub, you know, whether it's the events we have or just our proximity to Lake Tahoe. And then also just the amount of people that the airport and aviation-related activities, the people it employs, the business opportunities mm-hmm. like ours for Northern Nevada, just an investment in aviation, whatever area it might be, whatever sector, is really just an investment in our long-term like economic development.
You know what I really miss about the Reno Airport back in the day, 70s, 80s, I think, you could take your vehicle and park it right at the runway.
Mm-hmm.
We would take a pickup truck and back up the pickup truck bed to right touching
right next
the
to
runway
yep.
and wave at the pilots as they are, or moon them, as they're coming in. It was the most incredible thing.
Yeah.
And then they put up the gates and the fences and everything. The terrace ruined it. You got to get out of. Geez, you can't even park anywhere near airport property.
Yeah.
They'll chase you out.
Yeah.
I've been chased out a few times.
Yeah.
Now, Las Vegas, you can park alongside Sunset, I think, and that's very close to the runway.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I remember that thrill of being this far away from the plane as it arrives. That's what I miss about the airport. But I'm glad they're so pilot-friendly and encourage people to get into this. Now, learning to be a pilot gives you, Jen, you were saying, skills for life. How's that?
Yeah, so we like to talk about it that it's not just training people how to fly a plane. They're really developing some of these life-changing disciplines. So one, you know, it teaches or enhances self-discipline. They have to learn time management, focus, just taking command of that plane. When they're up there by themselves, like everything falls on them, and they have to have that discipline to do that. And then also just the professionalism and etiquette. There's certain phraseology they have to use when they talk to the tower. They have to have, when they go to these untowered airports like Stead, Silver Springs, Carson, they have to be able to communicate with the other pilots, you know, to get into the pattern, to sync their, line up for who's coming in to land first, who's taking off next. And it really elevates that professionalism and the etiquette. Plus, it's, you know, it strengthens families, in my opinion. You know, when somebody in the family starts learning to fly, it becomes a family thing. Like, siblings get inspired. The parents get inspired. We get so many parents that just come out, watch their student pre-flight, take a ton of pictures, watch them take off. And so that student successes really start to become the family successes.
Wow, you guys are passionate.
Yeah, we got a lot. I know we get excited.
Yeah. Yeah. I always tell folks it's going to be in the top three of your most significant things you've ever done in your life.
Wow.
I mean that seriously.
And the opportunities it creates for a first generation pilot, it can be, you know, talk about like just changing the family dynamics and starting to create generational wealth.
Talk about instilling responsibility and, like you said, Jen, time management and such.
Mm-hmm.
All right, out of time. I didn't get into the youth aviation camp. You just finished it. I think that's a wonderful thing that you did. Youth aviation camp. You're going to do it again?
Yes, it's a yearly thing in July.
Check out their website, folks, greatbasinaviation.com, and change your life or your kid's life. And your contact number, is this right, 856-3655?
Correct.
All right. GreatBasinAviation.com. Jen, Richard, thanks for coming out here.
Thank you for having me.
Fascinating stuff. Really is. I'm Chad Potter, live and local. Open topics, 884-9910. Whatever you want to talk about, we'll tackle after Fox News next on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1031.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area.
They are bringing more illegals every day.
On one radio station.
At this point, I just kind of assume every politician is dirty.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Hello. Welcome back. Welcome back, my friends. 10:37 is our time. I'm John Potter. Phone lines open, 884-9910. Always very happy to hear from you. Just watching the thermometer inch its way up. Let's check it out here. Reno current temperature, 87 degrees. We have 83 degrees in Carson City. Yerington, you're at 88. Lucky you. About to hit 90 degrees there. South Lake Tahoe with current temperature, 75 degrees. The National Weather Service heat advisory begins at 11 a.m. today. That is 23 minutes away, and it goes to 11 a.m. Wednesday. Why? I ask again, why would it end at 11 a.m.?
That is so arbitrary, isn't it?
It's so weird. Anyway, expected highs in Reno, 95 today, 97 Sunday and Monday, 94 Tuesday, 90 Wednesday and Thursday. Then either 80, there's no escape, folks, I'm sorry. Then either 89 or 90 all the way to Monday the 21st, which as far as the Weather Service goes here. Heat advisory is for the Truckee Meadows, Carson Valley, up north over Pyramid Lake and down south to Mineral County. And I'm sure Southern Nevada has their own heat alerts. Also had some, has anybody noticed the haze that came in overnight? We're going to have a bit of a haze this weekend. It's part of the wildfire smoke that has seeped in from the north from fires in southern Oregon and California. And most of the haze today is coming to areas north of I-80 and settling in for lower air quality there. Our AQI, air quality index at the moment in Reno, is 65. 65 AQI puts us in the moderate category for now. Some parts of town, the sensors show 72 AQI in northeast Reno. 75 is the highest I see right now in Mogul. They have the highest air quality alert numbers from the sensors. Thank you for the texts. Did get to these. Okay, this came in at 922. John, I agree. It's a mess there with the beggars and all. Isn't it against the law to inhabit traffic medians? Our police won't do anything. Why?
Well, I have a minor, a small answer to that. Because
first off, I don't remember talking about this.
No. We were talking about, what was it we were talking about the first segment? I can't remember it off my head.
Yeah, I forget too.
Yeah, I didn't fall asleep.
The throwaway.
Yeah. Anyway, there was actually a lawsuit filed on behalf of the beggars that there was would be a violation of their freedom of speech to not be there.
In the traffic median.
Correct. In the traffic median. And for, there is some regulations, however, that they have to be at least 20 feet away from the actual intersection.
Well,
so they can be on the median. They just have to be 20 feet away, technically, from the intersection, the direct intersection itself.
Well, they have their rights.
Yeah.
And it
does not affect private property. That's up to the private property owner, like over at Winco, where they're over there. That is not a city street that they're on at Winco in South Virginia.
And the cities try to get around this by having the anti-camping ordinances that they
Correct,
do.
Yeah.
But you can thank the ACLU, which has empowered the homeless. I mean, even back in the 60s, 70s, they are the reason why all the state medical or mental health facilities had to close down. We used to call them the nut houses, okay? Everybody blames Reagan for this, but they filed a lawsuit against the state of California saying you cannot just pick up people and commit them and put them in these institutions where, and I called them nut houses, and they really were, because they didn't really help the mentally ill at all. It was a one flew over the cuckoo's nest kind of a situation where they just housed them and gave them pills. And the ACLU, California lost that, and so Reagan had to close the institutions, and then it went national. And that's
when
where we are
Nevada
now.
Mental SMI Sparks, or the Nevada Mental Health Facility closed on Gluddy, and bussed them to California.
Ooh. But the judge, you know, was right. I mean, you cannot just commit people. These people have individual rights, and that can't be done. It's just funny that everybody blames Reagan for it. Anyway, I'm way off track here. Let's get to some relevant stuff. I was reading text. That's right. Okay, let's go to the next one here. You know, I don't mind you folks texting instead of calling. I know you love my wonderful voice, and it's better that I read them, right? Okay, good. This came at 9:23. Good job, John. You're the only media person that talks about this stuff. You think our mayor is listening? Do we have one? Again, I don't know what I was saying at 9:23, but thank you. I appreciate it very much. Relevant stuff. There are at this moment three wildfires now in Nevada to report. The first is a new one, and it's also closest to us. It's the Big Fire in Mineral County. It's just west southwest of Hawthorne, and now at 300 acres. That's half a square mile. The lightning sparked a Hot Canyon Fire in Elko County has burned close to 20 square miles. That one is now 30% contained, but firefighters estimate it'll be fully contained by Tuesday. Another new one is now the biggest in the state. Further south from us is the Gothic Fire in Nye County. It's about 20 miles southwest of Rachel, Nevada, alien town. Part of the fire, this is interesting, part of the fire is on Nevada Test and Training Range land and close to restricted test site military land, but 48 square miles torched right there, and a lot of it is timber, pinyon, and juniper. The Bartlett Fire south of Winnemucca is no longer active. Good job, crew. Black Hills now above Winnemucca, 28 square miles worth. Let's go to the phone, 884-9910, to talk about anything. It's Joan. Joan, good morning from Reno. I'm glad you called.
Hi, thank you. And I just have a hint for people, and it kind of ties into your fire thing. People are in those areas, and actually no matter where they are. One of the things that we keep hearing is people are very sad when they lose pitchers that they cannot replace. And my son came up with, he moves a fair amount and couldn't keep carrying albums around. He took pictures of the pitchers on his cell phone. And so he, and you know, then they go to the cloud and that sort of thing. And so they'll always be there. So if people, you know, those very special pictures that people have that might be on their walls or whatever, if they take even pictures of them, at least then they'll have a way to get back to those memories and that sort of thing. And it's cheap. I mean, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very good. It's kind of, one thing that saved my life is Google Keep. You put pictures in that or text or, and it stays forever till you die. You can't say the same thing about Microsoft Word, right? So put it in the cloud, whatever that is. I appreciate the call, Joan. Have yourself a good day. Okay. You staying cool?
I am, fortunately, yep.
All right. Well, keep in touch. I appreciate the call. Elsewhere in the news, kudos to all the hard work our Washoe County DA Chris Hicks and his staff did to charge 27 young people with the very destructive vandalism at Reno High School. I mean, it looked like a crowd of rioters had gone through that school. Tens of thousands of dollars in damages. Yeah, it was a bit of a wait. And I just have the sense that the school district just wanted to just avoid facing up to what happened there. But there have to be consequences. And Chris Hicks said a lot of the right things yesterday about it. The school district has been just kind of hush-hush about it ever since it happened. What, almost 2 months ago, right? Over 7 weeks, I think. And, you know, the school superintendent just called it hate speech. It was a lot more than that. And what else I wanted to mention, we're losing another really good business in town today. They're closing their doors. One of my favorites. After so many years, first, of course, in Truckee, then they came to Reno at Virginia and California downtown, and they've been there for like over 10 years, I'm sure. The Truckee Bagel Company is closing there today. They're keeping their South Reno Wedge Parkway location, the one by Rayleigh's. They're going to keep that one open. But the best bagels in downtown Reno close up today. And they posted that there have been challenges downtown for them. They specified the redesign and reconstruction of South Virginia. They also blamed COVID. You know, I really disagree with people who blame COVID for a closing business. It was the state and Governor Sisolak's draconian COVID rules that killed small business. And what they call the Great Labor Resignation of 2021, the bagel company is blaming, which is what I call people not wanting to work after the state paid their rent. Why give it a fancy name like that? And you know what? They did not even mention probably the biggest problem there, and that being the homeless problem in downtown Reno, which has gotten so bad downtown that places like Starbucks at Virginia and Liberty had to remove all their chairs and tables inside and out. So, hey, we disagree, Truckee Bagel, but your bagels were amazing. And I remember when you opened, there was a lot of good press from the mayor at the time and city council and other city officials trumpeting the revitalization of downtown Reno and Midtown a full decade ago. And they said, this is wonderful. This is going to be great. And 10 years ago, you know, that's what they were saying. They were saying that. But the politicians tend not to show up or say very much when it's the going out of business announcement time. And aside from my love of their best-in-town bagels, I'm never happy when someone's dream doesn't come true. And God bless the people to whom Truckee Bagel was important. And one more thing, just as a customer, one thing about Truckee Bagel is how it always conducted itself, I thought, in a classy and respectful fashion. And they did have a positive impact, and there were some very good people working there. And I'm sorry that it has come to this end for that location. Open lines here, folks, 884-9910. A shout out, a bricks or a bouquet that you'd like to send out, or a question you have. Love to hear from you, or something in the news that just made you mad. I'll take it. 884-9910. Gonna take a break right now. On Live and Local, each and every Saturday morning, 9 to noon, on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1050.
The talk starts here. Get the conversation going. Call now.
Hello?
99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
I'm just seeing how high we can go here. Let me see. Temperature, let's do Reno. Currently, 87 degrees. Let me see, Arrington. I bet you hit 90. 88 degrees. Okay. Heat advisory starts in, are you excited? 6 minutes from now. I'm John Potter, live and local. Just a quickie thing before Fox News that I learned this week as I was reading some history last night, since the 250th anniversary of our country is coming up. A very interesting thing I never knew. The leading cause of battlefield death in the Revolutionary War was the bayonet. That is how much these guys valued freedom. They were willing to risk being gutted in order to give their children and you and me liberty. And we're not going to squander it. And speaking of liberty, something new I was made aware of this week, and it surprised me very much, because I've lived in Nevada now for most of my life and many decades in Reno, Sparks. But a gentleman cornered me at Starbucks Thursday and told me that you are not allowed to work on your car. You're not allowed to make any repairs on your vehicle after 72 hours on your own driveway. And I looked it up, and city code reads, time limit for repairs in driveway. Repairs performed in a driveway must not take longer than 72 hours to complete in your own driveway. And it goes on, no major disassembly in public view. A vehicle should not be in a state of major disassembly or disrepair in view of the public. Major repairs or any repair exceeding 72 hours must be done inside a garage or out of public view. Painting prohibited. Painting a vehicle is not allowed in any publicly visible area. Isn't something? And you can't do work on somebody else's vehicle on your property. That would infer a commercial auto repair business from your home without obtaining a home occupation permit, which is not allowed. And this gentleman who confronts me at Starbucks, he's working on the driveway. Neighbor recognized that the car was not. And by gosh, they're going to do something about that vehicle with the hood open on your driveway. Meanwhile, there's that abandoned RV on Limberry Street that's been there for a year and a half. But no, kidding aside, he was as surprised about the city rule as I am today. As a what? I mean, we're not those crazy HOA rules here, folks. This is our city, our local government telling us that all repairs must be done inside, out of sight of the public. And code enforcement says you can't park vehicles on grass or dirt on your private property either. And, you know, they just don't want people outside working on cars with no car parts sitting on your driveway, offending the sensibilities of your pristine neighbors. I have thoughts on this, but I guess I have to wait till after Fox News, which we're going to live in just a minute. Does this surprise anybody? I'm just kind of flabbergasted. You cannot paint in public, and you can't have the hood of your car open, and the car can't be, what is it now? If you're working on the car, it has to be done inside a garage or out of public view. And just flat out painting a vehicle is not allowed in any publicly visible area. But again, this is your driveway we're talking about here. I understand there are people with junker cars that just sit there and everything. This is nothing to do with that. This is somebody working on a vehicle on your own driveway. Anyway, I'm going to mix in a little Thomas Jefferson with this. When I come back after Fox News, you can give your opinion. I hope you do. 884-9910 or text it. I'm John Potter, live and local on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1058.